Sportsnet 650.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Did you ever vote? We'll get to the Canucks. Did you ever vote in the Lou Marsh?
Did you have? I did for the first time ever.
Oh, this one.
Yes.
Are you like how deep can you go into the process and the conversation of it?
I don't think I'm going to send anything out of school. Like we met for about 2 hours today. There were about 25 people around the table. And there were some other people who were there on a conference call, like people who aren't in Montreal. In Toronto, there was somebody from, there was someone from Montreal. There were a couple of people from out west. There's one Canadian who works in the States. there were a lot of people. There were probably about 30 or 35 people. And anybody can nominate anyone they want. Whoever nominates someone makes a case for them. Then you vote for a top five, and from the top five, you vote for one.
How do you, Joey Votto, by the way, won the Lou Marsh this afternoon. How do you differentiate between a professional $25 million, National League MVP runner-up and an amateur athlete at the top of their field? Because it's apples to oranges, is it not?
Well, it is, but you do try and take a stab at it. Like, one of the things that we do talk about is, okay, if you're so supportive of this particular individual, why do you think they should win over someone else? And that does come up. Like, how do you compare someone who plays in a team sport? And I don't know, I should get into the specifics of what came up, but there were reasons, like, why should I vote for someone in a team sport over an individual? How much does team success or non-success impact how you should vote for one particular person over someone else? There was a Paralympian who came up in the conversation today, and you have that debate, how does a Paralympian compare to an able-bodied athlete or team athlete? Like, believe me, all of these debates come up, and like, it's hard. Like,
yeah.
It's not like this country only has hockey players anymore or only has about four or five real good international athletes outside of hockey. I mean, there are people in the top five. Like, Brooke Anderson didn't make the top five. She's a star. Kylie Moss didn't make the top five. She's a world record holder and Canada's first female swimming world champion ever. It's hard now. The depth of and talent of Canadian athletes is pretty deep.
Elliot, we're so exposed to National Hockey League players, particularly Canadian ones. You as a voting member, do you find it difficult in some way not to discredit the players in the National Hockey League because we see them so much, because we're so exposed to them?
You know, I will say that came up today. There's somebody who did mention that they feel that hockey players get penalized in the vote. And I thought that was interesting. I do think it's possible. Like, I will tell you guys, Sidney Crosby was in my top five, and I thought a lot about, do I not want to vote for a hockey player because, you know, I'm a quote-unquote hockey guy. But in the end, I figured that wasn't a good enough reason not to vote for him, although I will tell you I voted for Alex Harvey. He was my number one guy at the end. When I did a lot of research into him and there was someone who made a very impassioned speech on his behalf, I was like, you know what? We may not know who this guy was, but what he accomplished is pretty freaking incredible. But I have no complaints with Votto winning. He had an unbelievable season, too. I do think that's a fair question, Scott, because I know it did weigh a little bit on my thinking. And in the end, I decided to move away from that. I felt I shouldn't make or not make a choice for that reason. But it has been discussed in the past about how hockey players get penalized for the Lou Marsh because, you know, they get all the attention. Maybe it's someone else's time.
Alex Harvey, by the way, the first cross-country skier from North America to win the 50K race at the Nordic World Ski Championships. So, yeah, I mean, if you're him, how do you climb to a higher rung at your sport? Right.
Well, it's also I think it's also as I've learned, and you know, you do a lot of research of your own coming into this. For example, I mean, first of all, Canada never wins at that thing. That's like the Super Bowl of cross country racing, and or cross-country walking, I guess you'd call it. And it's hard to win. I mean, there's Norway, which is a power. There are other countries which are powers. And also, you know, if you read about this stuff, we are chronically, like Harvey, even though the support has grown over the years, it's nothing compared to what some of those other countries go with.
Yeah.
Like in Norway, that's their national sport. Like you know that they're coming with, they're basically coming with a 4K truck, and we're showing up in standard definition. So I think it adds to the level of what he's done. It wasn't only one race. I think he finished third on the World Cup circuit. I have to check exactly. And for a Canadian, that's unbelievable.
He is Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night Canada, and the author of 31 Thoughts. You can read it now, sportsnet.ca. So the Canucks lose Horvat, and that was concerning. Sven Berchi goes down over the weekend as well. And all of a sudden, they lose three straight games. It feels like so much has gone right, and they're still fourth last in the West. Is it the beginning of the end here in terms of standings relevance?
Well, I don't know if I'd say it's the beginning of the end, but it's certainly become a lot harder. I mean, you know, you have to score in this league, and it's the hardest thing to find. Excuse me, guys, is people who can score. And, you know, they're down two guys right now. You know, I have no doubt that Jim Benning is looking and trying to find something. But, you know, you take a look at Edmonton. They've been looking to try to find some wingers all year, and the only deal they can make is Camilleri for Jokinen. And it's not for a lack of trying. Like, Peter Chiarelli has really been trying. It's simply that, A, the prices are high, or B, there's just nothing out there that you want. And, you know, I know they made that deal, Dowd for Jordan Subban, but I understand what they were trying to do. They were just trying to fill a hole the easiest possible way, and that's very similar to the deal not as NHL players like Jokinen and Camilleri are, but it's a similar kind of deal to what Edmonton and LA did. There's not a lot out there right now. And if you're sitting there as the Vancouver Canucks, you know, what's the sense of giving up? You're not giving up your first-round pick. That could be Rasmus Dahlin or something really good, a Svechnikov or something like that. You'd have to be crazy to trade that unless the return is so good. And, you know, your second-rounder could be right at the top of the second round. Those are good picks to have. So all of a sudden you're sitting here and you're like, okay, what are we willing to give up? And it's probably not too much, so you're not exactly swinging for the fences. You're looking to fill holes. And those kinds of trades, even those aren't very easy to do.
You mentioned that if there's a Canuck likely to get moved in this week's 31 Thoughts, it's Alex Burmistrov. Do you have any sense of what type of interest there might be out there right now?
I think there's some, but I don't think it's, obviously I don't think it's overwhelming. You know, any team could have had Burmistrov this offseason. The Canucks took the chance, and it doesn't appear to be working. So, you know, I think there's always interest in guys who can play center, but I wouldn't submit that it's overwhelming, and I wouldn't expect that great a return.
Could you see a package deal that has Burmistrov and Eric Gudbranson in it at some point?
Boy, you guys are really determined to trade Eric Gudbranson, aren't you?
No, we're just wondering what happens, because there's some saying that, look, he's going to command a certain amount of money and a certain term because he's going to be a free agent after this year, and if he's not in the Canucks' long-term plans, get something for him.
Yes, you're right, though. People are very eager to trade Eric Gudbranson. That would be a crazy.
You know, I don't know. If you're trading Eric Gudbranson, how much does Burmistrov sweeten it?
I guess it depends what your needs are as a team that's acquiring right now, right? Where are you injury-wise? Because that's something that, you know, we've seen around the National Hockey League this year. There are certain rosters that are injury-depleted right now. And, again, Burmistrov might not be the answer, but is he part of the solution short-term?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't forget that just a few months ago, I mean, what was that, June, and we're in December, so just 6 months ago, you know, anybody could have had him, and Vancouver got him for, what, 1 year at $900K?
Yeah.
I mean, and now he's not playing. I know he played last night, but generally he's not playing for you guys. What does that say to you about what his value is?
It's fair. It's an absolutely fair
point. I mean,
point.
You could include him in a deal with Gudbranson if that's what ends up happening, but do you think it's really going to tip the scales for anything? The Canucks took a shot. It doesn't look like it's worked, but it's not like it's a shot that really hurts you in any way, shape, or form.
He is Elliot Friedman. I've never thought that, you know, that there's going to be some major crazy, you know, trade haul here in Vancouver that changes the franchise. There might be a couple guys moved out there. There might not be. But the one thing, the one thing that intrigues me a little bit, and you mentioned it in 31 Thoughts, in the sense of there are teams looking at goalies right now. Vancouver has Demko on the way, but they have two guys here that, for the most part, I know Markstrom wasn't very good last night, but they've played pretty well. Jacob Markstrom and Anders Nilsson, they're both relatively affordable if anybody gets moved in a surprising deal. Or, like, how closely should teams be kicking the tires on these two?
You know, Markstrom has always fascinated me as a prospect. You know, don't forget a couple years ago, the Hockey News named him as the number one prospect, I think, outside the NHL at the time. And but it's kind of funny because the Panthers right now, you know, Luongo's hurt and he's out a while, and Reimer had a great game last night in Detroit, but generally hasn't been very good. And Florida's kind of making noise that they want a goalie, and not just a goalie, they want a guy who's young enough that could be their goalie for a few years. And I mean, Markstrom would almost be a perfect fit if Vancouver wanted to do that. The problem is, like, him and the Panthers, they drove each other crazy when they were there. Like, the Panthers were frustrated by him, and no doubt he was frustrated by them. Like, he's almost exactly what they're looking for if it wasn't for the fact that they already had him. You know, I'm not so sure if I would be trading Markstrom. I mean, it depends on what you have to sign him to contract-wise. But, you know, I do think that Markstrom has value. You know, Nilsson, again, he's played very well for you, but he's never, like, he's been around a bit, and he's never really been a number one. And I know there's a debate in your city about should he play more, should he get more of a leash, should he get a run as your number one guy. I still think to this day people see a higher ceiling in Markstrom than Nilsson, but I just don't know if Markstrom will ever get to the ceiling that was hoped for him. I think he's been better this year than, you know, than generally he's been, but I still think people look at what he could have been and they kind of say, I don't know if he's ever getting there. But it is kind of funny you mentioned it, Andrew, because I think if he wasn't already a Florida Panther, he might be the kind of guy they would trade for.
He's under contract for the next two seasons beyond this one, and Nilsson has 1 year left on his deal after the expiration of this year as well. You mentioned five general managers, pretty prominent ones. Jim Benning here in Vancouver, Doug Armstrong, Chuck Fletcher, Ken Holland, Lou Lamoriello, all in the last year of their current contracts. Any of those guys close to getting something done with their existing teams?
Well, you know, we should add, I believe Brian McClellan is number six, although the Capitals don't confirm it. I also think he is in the last year of his deal. So let's just say there's five and a half, although I think it is actually six. You know, there were reports last week that Doug Armstrong is talking with St. Louis, and they look really good. I mean, they just got a kick in the groin with Jaden Schwartz going down, but they're a pretty good team, and they draft and develop well. I do think that there's a good chance Lou Lamoriello is coming back for one more year as the GM in Toronto. They don't say anything either, but there's a lot of rumblings that he'll finish Austin Matthews' entry-level contract. Eventually, we'll find out. I don't know of any talks between Ken Holland and Detroit. I know it's gone dark a little bit with Jim Benning in Vancouver, but, you know, you guys had Aquilini, and he talked about it a bit. I do think that there is, again, as I've said before, I don't know exactly what the role is or could be, but I do think there's a role for Jim Benning in Vancouver. And who was the other one that I missed there?
Chuck Fletcher.
Chuck Fletcher. I think that is all determinant on how that team finishes and how that team ends up. And they are really battling. But I think it's all determinant on whether or not Minnesota misses the playoffs and maybe even wins a round. Like, Minnesota always is there. They just can't get over that hump. And I think ownership wants them to see Chuck get them over that hump. I think he's done a good job there, but, you know, I see an owner that's getting a little bit impatient. I'll tell you this, too, guys. I think there's this Seattle team. I think there's a lot of GMs interested in that.
Like, I mean, it would be interesting. Look how it's been for Vegas, right?
What's that?
Look how it's been for Vegas. It's
Well, it gave you a lot of control. Yep. You had a good expansion draft, and I guarantee you that expansion draft won't be getting weaker for Seattle. And also, you had the ability to hold a lot of other teams hostage and make deals only with you. I think there's a lot of GMs who'd love to be in that seat. And I'll tell you, if Seattle was hiring a GM this off season, which I don't believe they will, I wouldn't be surprised if some of those guys wanted that.
I talked to a couple of Senators fans this weekend. I ran into a couple, and boy, that is a group that is sweating right now.
Do I need to wear a bulletproof vest when I go to Ottawa tomorrow?
I don't know, but you document kind of everything that's happened with this Carlson situation, and it sounds extremely explosive. Is it?
Well, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to put the genie in the bottle, and I really thought Carlson handled it well today. He really tried not to pour gasoline on the fire. And you know, when you're losing and they're losing, nothing's good. Losing sucks. Everything's bad. It's like it's hell. You know, they've gone from being a team that was one goal away from the Stanley Cup final to being one team away from being dead last in the Eastern Conference. Like, it's a nightmare in every sense of the word. Your organization is totally under siege. And now, you know, Carlson, I thought, did a good job today calming it down. But, you know, there's no doubt that the GM is getting a ton of calls. You know, what am I on the list? You know, what are you thinking of doing? I think they're going to try to make another move first. But look, like, you know, the one thing we can't pin down here is exactly when the trade request came. Like, there were reports yesterday that everybody was asked in October. That's not true, because Derek Brassard said to a couple of French reporters that he hasn't been asked for his list yet. And my belief is that it's recent for Carlson, although no one's confirmed it and he hasn't said anything. I just think that where we are now is, the Ottawa Senators know they have to at least consider the possibility. I just think the question is, when do they actually want to do it, or can they solve this without doing that? And I think that's sort of like the unknown right now.
He is Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, in 31 Thoughts. Thanks for this. I want you to know I did stand up for you on Saturday. So when you're out at a sports bar and Hockey Night's on, the intermissions, they always like put the music back on in the bar, and I made them turn it back on. So... You're welcome.
I hope it was not like a really good song. Like, what song did you turn off for me?
I don't know. I'm not a real name that tune guy. Scotty is the name that tune guy. He's good.
I was not.
Were you there, Rental, or are you guys like that typical radio pair that pretends they're friends in studio and then never hangs out together?
No, Scotty here was out on Friday, believe it or not.
Oh. Yeah.
So Saturday, I don't know if he was probably...
Yeah, Scott, you always struck me as a guy that goes to bed around 5, so I'm impressed to hear you went out.
Hey, that's what I want the public to think. Thank you, Elliot.
No worries, guys. Have yourselves a great week.
Thanks, Elliot. That is Elliot Friedman. Hockey Night in Canada. Some good stuff on the Vancouver Canucks.
Sportsnet 650.